ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो फिफ्टींथ चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 12th। यस्याद्वरे भगवानद्वरात्मा मघोनिमाद्यत्तुरुसोमपीते श्रद्धा विशुद्धाचलभक्तियोगा समर्पिते जाफलमाजहार। Translation: In Maharaj Gaya's sacrifice, there was a great supply of intoxicant known as Som. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantities of Somras. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, also came and personally accepted all the sacrifices offered unto him with pure and firm devotion in the sacrificial arena. Purport: Maharaj Gaya was so perfect that he satisfied all the demigods who were headed by the heavenly king Indra. Lord Vishnu himself also personally came to the sacrificial arena to accept the offerings. Although Maharaj Gaya did not want them, he received all the blessings of the demigods and the Supreme Lord himself. Om Adnya, I beg the blessings of all the devotees who are seated here, who are far more realized, far more experienced than I am. So I beg the blessings of your devotees while I speak the Srimad Bhagavatam, something on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and for the glorification of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and Gaur Nithai and Sri Gopal. So, this chapter is entitled The Descendants of King Priyavrat, and this chapter is entitled to speaking about the glorious descendants or the kings who have actually ruled the earth in ancient history. So here it is described that how Maharaj Gaya was so perfect that he satisfied all the demigods, so much so that even the demigods would personally come, and so much so that even Lord Vishnu personally came to actually accept the offerings which he was making. So there are very important philosophical concepts in this purport. One being that the goal of the ruler, leader, should be that he should be satisfying Vishnu. It's very important. As it is said, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Aradhyate Panta Na Anya Tattosha Karanam. The goal of the society, which was divided into Varna and Ashramas, is only one, that is to somehow or another engage the people in Vishnu worship, to please Lord Vishnu, which he was doing so nicely. He was doing the yajnas. So here Maharaj Gaya's example has been given for all of us to follow, all the leaders of the society to follow. In the Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter 34th verse, Krishna is instructing Arjuna, who was also a leader in many ways, and he was telling him, you know, the situation was such, the 11th chapter is the universal form. And just a few verses back, Arjuna is asking, he's seeing the universal form of Krishna in the air. And he's seeing all the big mouths and many, many heads and all the limbs. And he's asking, he's very bewildered and he's very astonished and seeing the horrendous sight of the universal form of the Lord. And he's asking Krishna, who are you? And Krishna says, Kalosmi lokakshya krit pravruddho, that I am time and I have come to destroy everyone excepting you and the Pandavas. So he's telling Arjuna that you nimitta matram bhava savyasachi, you just become an instrument. Just become an instrument, and already all these people have been killed already. I have already killed them, but you just be an instrument, you get the glory. Just be an instrument. So a leader is actually, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj writes in his book, Leadership in the Age of Higher Consciousness, is actually an instrument. He should be an instrument, and he should be transparent via media to the mercy of the Lord. If he is transparent, just like, for example, if there's a lens, if you're wearing spectacles, and our spectacles are dirty, we really cannot see things clearly. So when we clean it up, then things become very clear. Or what's an instrument? Like, for example, a puppet. If the puppeteer is moving the puppet and all of a sudden the puppet starts behaving differently, you know, the puppeteer will be shocked. What's happening? His will is not being executed. Because the puppet does not have his own will. He just does what the puppeteer wants him to do. Similarly, there's another example of a scissor is an instrument. And we're using a scissor to conduct an operation, say. A doctor uses an instrument. And in the middle of the operation, while he's, you know, doing the incision, all of a sudden the knife or the scissor jumps out of his hand and starts, you know, making all cuts here and there. The doctor will be bewildered. You know, the patient will die. So, for an instrument to be a good instrument, he should just be a transparent via media to the will of the person who's using the instrument. It's very important. So, a leader has to be a good instrument. It's very, very important. And what makes a leader a good instrument? What makes a leader transparent via media is that he should have devotion, he should have service attitude. He should be free from the tendency to enjoy. And he should be in the mood of service. So that is what is important. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shantra, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaucham, Sthairyam, Atma, Vinigraham. He gives all these various qualities which are necessary for effective leadership. He says, Dambo, Darpo, Abhimanascha, Krodha, Parusham, Evacha, Ajnana, Chabichatasya, Partha, Sampadam, Asurim. Pride, arrogance, conceit, and all these qualities are actually, or ignorance, illusion, are all the property, assets of asuras, demons, demoniac kind of people. So, a leader, when he comes to the position, his mood should be to serve. His mood should be to accept responsibility and render service and deliver the people under him Krishna consciousness. Somehow or another, engage the people in worship of Vishnu. That should be his goal. So that is very, very important. But today we see that it's just the opposite. Selfishness has taken the prime role in the lives of the leaders today. Now, to the degree we are selfish, to the degree we have the enjoyment mentality, to that degree we cannot be leaders. And in fact, what to speak of the kings? Every one of us is a leader in one sense. Who is a leader? A leader is one who is actually influencing someone. He's affecting the lives of some people. A king may be a person who is a leader who is affecting the lives of many people. But all of us, every person is a leader in some aspect. Someone is a father, someone is a mother, someone is a child, he's a monitor in his class, someone is a teacher in his college, or someone is a manager in the office. To some extent, we are guiding people. And even if we are not officially in a role of a leader, position of a leader, but still every activity which we do has got a subtle influence on others. Everything we speak, everything we act pervades the ether. It's not lost. It has a subtle impression on the minds of other people. For example, a class is going on and if a person is feeling very sleepy and he sleeps in class, it is like giving an impression that, you know, you also go to sleep, something like that. But if a person is very enthusiastic and he's sitting in the class and he's hearing Bhagavatam very attentively, so much so that he's sitting straight and he's hearing very attentively what is going on, then the other person who's apparently feeling sleepy may feel that, wow, he's so enthusiastic. What's there in the class? You know, why am I feeling so sleepy? And he may also be tempted and inspired to actually be attentive in class, something like that. So in one sense, everyone is a leader. Everyone is a leader. So to the degree every one of us actually imbibe a quality of selflessness, to that degree we can be free from being opaque and we'll be more transparent to the mercy of the Lord, to the people we are guiding. So what is selfishness? Like in the Bhagavad Gita begins with an example of Dhritarashtra being, you know, a bad leader. It starts with Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveta Yuyutsava, Mamaka Pandavashchaiva Kim Akuruvatu Sanjay. He's telling, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, O Sanjay, please tell me, what are the Pandavas and Mamaka, my sons, doing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? What's conspiring between them? So in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita itself is an example of a very bad leader, that is Dhritarashtra. He was so attached to his son that even though he knew that his son was not a good leader, he was so corrupt and he could see so many bad things happening in his kingdom, that the Pandavas were ripped off of their kingdom, they were cheated. A very chaste lady was being disrobed in open Kuru assembly by his own sons. He could see that. And he could, on the opposite side, he could see how Yudhishthira Maharaj was so glorious, having so many good qualities. He was a rightful heir to being the emperor of the world. But still, because he was so attached to, you know, his son, he couldn't see the reality. He was blinded. He was blind materially and he was blind spiritually. So this is the example of a bad leader. And we find that there are so many such examples in the Shastras and in history also. Like for example, Kamsa. He put his father into jail, Ugrasen, and he was enjoying the kingdom. We see how Aurangzeb, so brutally, he killed all his brothers and imprisoned his father to enjoy the kingdom. So they were the leaders of society, they are guiding people. So what is your motive? The motive is enjoyment, not service. In South Africa, there is a place called as Zaire. And there is a king of that land called as Butu. And this Butu, he's one of the richest men in the world. And Zaire is one of the poorest countries in the world. So you can imagine, where is all the money coming from? Where is he getting all his money? Quite contradictory. It's pretty evident that, you know, he's exploiting the people. It said in South Africa, the African heads of the state have remitted or deposited $22 billion in their foreign banks. That people, they have been exploiting the people so much that people have lost faith on the leaders. Therefore, when the time came when the elections were there and Nelson Mandela wanted to take up the position, he lost the vote. He could not come into power because people of Africa, they actually lost hope or any kind of a... They couldn't trust any leader. They couldn't trust even Nelson Mandela, who was actually quite truthful and trustworthy. So, you know, this is the case of the state of affairs of the leaders today, where they want to come into position so that they quickly come to position, they make as much money as possible and leave the place. And still, there are some people who are, you know, very staunch and to some extent they are having some kind of moral principles. But still, how much is that? How long does that last? Like, you know, one devotee was just sharing one joke. One minister, he was one of the managers in a car company and they wanted to launch a new model in the market. So he comes to this minister for his, you know, endorsement to get things done faster. So he comes to the minister and he says, "Oh, wonderful, you know, you're such a good friend. You know, I have just come to meet you after a long time." And they were sitting over lunch and he was saying, "Well, you know, by the way, our company has launched a new model of the car. And, you know, I just wanted you to know. And by the way, I wanted to give you a gift. And I wanted to give you a gift of our latest model of so-and-so car." And the minister becomes alarmed. He says, "What? You're trying to bribe me? You're trying to bribe me?" So this man says, no, I'm not trying to bribe you. I want to sell it to you. I'm making an offer for sale. I want to sell you a car for 100 rupees only." He said, "100 rupees? Okay, in that case, I'll take 5 cars, one for each member of my family." So, we see that, you know, even though some people may be making a show of some kind of a righteousness and some moral principles, and, you know, truly they are straightforward, but still, how long does it last? Because of the influence, they are not in Krishna consciousness. We know how difficult it is. Devotees know how difficult it is to maintain Krishna consciousness. Devotees who work outside, they say that the moment they go out, they see so much illusion, so much of Maya. The influence is so strong. So what to speak of those leaders who are taking up leadership positions, but they are not in touch with Krishna consciousness. Their righteousness does not last. The moment they come into power, they see power, and then what happens? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. They get tempted and they fall down. So the Shastra says in the fifth canto, Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, devam na tatsyan, na patishcha sasyan, na mochiyat yaha samupeta mrityum. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So, one's prime role as a leader is to guide the people in Krishna consciousness, to guide them. It may be anyone, it may be all these people are actually leaders. And it is said, Yad yad achariti shrestha tat tat evetaro jana. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anu artade. Just like if a leader does something, common people will follow. And we may think, you know, I'm not a leader, you know, how am I being influenced and how am I influencing people? But no, there is a subtle influence. Like, you know, someone was saying, like once in a house, father and mother were going for a movie. So the son asked the father and mother that, father, I also want to go where you all are going. So he said, no, we are going for something where only adults are going. And only those people will go who has got mustache. So the son said, well, my mother doesn't have a mustache. Why is she going? So if she can go, then I can go. So the thing is, many times we feel that, you know, well, what influence do we make on people? And sometimes when you see even children or for that matter anyone, they are very intelligent enough, may not be consciously, but on an unconscious level, they are taking the vibrations, they are learning from examples that we set in the society. Therefore, we sometimes make a mistake in thinking that actually people are not so intelligent, or they will not, I can get away with doing something. But actually, whatever we do, in a very, very deep way, and in a very subtle way, actually influences people. We may not know that, but it actually is a fact. So keeping this in mind that we are leaders, we are responsible, we have to be responsible. We have taken up the role of being a leader for not enjoyment, but for service. It's a very, very important principle. Therefore, if you see Bharat Maharaj, his father was Rishabhdev, and he sent all his 100 sons for doing tapasya, austerities, purification. Now, what is the meaning of purification? Purification simply means to get rid of the enjoying mentality and to develop the attitude of service, selfless service in love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. That is purification. Previously, even in the ancient times, even before getting married, something so simple like just getting married, people would have to go undergo tapasya. Like the Prachetas and all these people, they were being sent to the forest to do tapasya. Why? Because one has to give up the desire to enjoy this world and actually take up the responsibility, become responsible. So there are so many examples of ideal leaders also. Like Bharat Maharaj, the stepbrother of Lord Ramchandra. When Lord Ram was in the forest on 14-year exile, Bharat Maharaj was thinking that I should rule on behalf of Lord Ram. I don't want this land, I don't want this property, I don't want to be a ruler. Even though somehow, by the arrangement of his mother, Lord Ram was exiled and he was put into position of a king. But he did not want to be there. So this is the quality of a leader. It's not that they want to be there and, you know, enjoy that position and exploit the resources. It is a very great responsibility. That's why it is said, as soon as a person comes into power, a king is said to take up a part of the sinful reactions of the people he is guiding. So that means taking up a position of a leader is not a joke. When there are elections, there are so many leaders who are flocking to take up the position of being the leader. They can even kill, they can do anything to come to the position. But actually what they don't understand is, if they are taking up the position of a leader, they have to incur karma. They have to take the karma of the people they are guiding. So to the degree the people they are going to lead are sinful, to that degree, they are going to get karma. And imagine to be a leader today, in today's world, where people are so grossly sinful. A leader has to be supremely magnanimous, because he is going to take all that karma. Today, if you see, India is one of the largest cow exporters. And one of the largest cow meat exporters is a Hindu Brahmin. Such grossly sinful things are happening in a land which was once upon a time so pious. So we see today people are taking up positions of being a leader, But actually, it's a thing of great responsibility. That's why we find that leaders, when they get out of their positions, they become sick and eventually they die very soon. Because they have taken up the position, they exploited, and to such a large extent, they have incurred karma, bad karma. And that's why they do not really, you know, live healthy lives, or they get very sick. So therefore, it is very, very important. But Bharat Maharaj was not like that. Bharat Maharaj had taken the slippers of Lord Ramachandra, put it on the altar, and every time when he would be doing the administration, he would report to the slippers, Lord Ram, you are the supreme controller, you are doing everything, I'm just your minister. So in that mood, he was doing the service. We see how Lord Ram personally set an example that after Sita was retreated from Lanka, and everything was going on very nicely, he was going walking in the kingdom, and he just saw one dhobi, a simple dhobi, a shudra, and he was washing clothes, and he was scolding his wife. You nonsense, where have you been so late? You come home so late. You think I'm like Lord Ramchandra? I'm not like him. I'm very concerned about the chastity of my wife. So he just made some loose statement like this. And Lord Ramchandra, as a messenger, was roaming around in the kingdom, and he heard this. And he immediately took it very seriously. Being a leader, being responsible, he immediately thought this is a mistake and I should rectify this. I should set an example of a good leader by which people will follow. And then he immediately banished Sita. So one of the reasons why Lord Ramachandra did that he was Maryada Purushottam Bhagavan, setting a very high standard of how a leader should be. So this is what it is. And the Vedic system emphasizes that a king should be in position setting this example. Vedic Shastras, they would often say that monarchy should be the way how the kingdom should be ruled. These days we have democracy. It's such a horrible way of managing the society. Democracy is very, very bad. Prabhupada would say democracy means demon crazy. Demon crazy. That means it's an institution of crazy people who are acting like demons. Imagine, like all of us have to go in an aircraft to Delhi, catch a flight to attend the Rath Yatra, Delhi Rath Yatra. And now we have to choose who's the pilot. So we'll take a vote. Okay, how many of you feel that so-and-so person, three people are standing up and they say, how many of you feel that these three people can be a good pilot? And most of the people raise their hand. Yes, I feel this person. And one person gets a majority vote and he's put in the position of a pilot. So how many of us think that we are going to sit in the flight? Certainly no one. So, when it comes to leading a nation, which is like flying so many people back home, back to Godhead, we use democracy. But actually, it is certainly demon crazy. Because, generally, the mass of people are quite stupid. Just like in a classroom, if you have a class in school, I remember when I was in college, every time when the teacher would come, you know, the students would say, sir, free class, sir, free, we are very tired, sir, free. So the teacher would look at the audience and say, okay, how many people want free? And everyone would raise their hands. Only few people will be there in class who are really serious, who come to study, and they will be keeping quiet and they want to study. But everyone said free class. So generally we see, observed in nature, that people are not like leaders. People are like, majority of the people are shudras. So if you take their opinion, what do you think, who the leader should be? So the first thing they're going to make the decision based on, who is the person who's going to give them maximum sense gratification? So they are going to choose a leader who is going to be a bigger shudra. So therefore, Prabhupada would say this is a society run by dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Where dogs, hogs, camel-like people appoint a dog, hog, a bigger dog, a bigger hog and a bigger camel as a leader. So this is the situation. So then the leaders of the society make such promises. If you elect me as so-and-so, minister of the state or whatever, then I will make bigger theaters, better this facility, better that facility. And people see, oh, good sense gratification available, so we will appoint him as our leader. So therefore, in the Shastra it was said, monarchy was actually the system, a right person, a qualified person, elected by a board of brahmanas, are actually supposed to lead the nation. Otherwise, as it is said in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj is saying to his father, Nate vidhu swartha gatim hi Vishnu, Durashaya ye bahir artha manena, andha yatande upagiya mana, tepisha tantriyam urudham nibaddha. People who are too much engrossed in enjoying this world, they really don't know what is good or what's bad. And they elect another person who apparently is showing that he knows something to be their leader. And he's comparing that leader to be a blind man. And all the other people are also blind men. And imagine that a man, a blind man is walking, is crossing the street. And he's guiding all the other blind men, a group of big blind men. He's holding the hand and they're all crossing the street. On the highway, Pune, Bombay Express Highway. And they're all crossing the street. And at full speed, at 120 kilometers per hour, you know, a Opel Astra is going. And what's going to happen to all those blind people? So such is actually the situation which is there, prevalent in our society today. And we see that if a leader is actually a good leader, if he's qualified and he becomes a good instrument in the hands of the Lord, then miracles take place. Excellent management and wonderful administration. All the people are happy. Like in the Shastras, there is an example of Veena. Anga had a son who was such a righteous king. Anga had a son which was so demoniac, quite contrast to his personality. Veena was such a demoniac king. And this Veena, he was a big thief, not an ordinary thief. The Brahmanas being so oppressed by the small time thieves that they thought there should be a king who will put an end to this thievery in going on in the society. So they installed Veena, who was such a big thief that he stopped all the other thieveries going on in the kingdom because he wanted to be the best. Ultimately, the Brahmanas are frustrated. They cursed him to die and he died. And then Prithu Maharaj was actually invoked from the body of Veena and he came to position. When he came to position, he found that there were so many thieves and so much of facilities which actually the earth had taken within herself. She was not giving to the people. She was depriving the people of earth because they were so sinful of all the facilities like grains and so many other things. So Prithu Maharaj, taking up the responsibility of a leader, chastised Mother Earth, who was in the form of a cow, and got back all the facilities. So we see that a good leadership actually facilitates, you know, good facilities for the people for happy living and peaceful coexistence. But if there's a bad leader, then automatically Mother Nature also locks up everything. Just like, you know, in homes we see, sometimes the children are very mischievous. The son, you know, sometimes he develops a habit of smoking and he develops a habit of stealing things from the cupboard. So once the mother knows it that, oh, our son has developed this habit, immediately she'll be very careful to lock the cupboard. She'll lock the cupboard, she'll keep the key here somewhere. Traditional Indian wives. Just to be very sure that the son does not steal. And when the son becomes rectified, he becomes very responsible, then the mother herself will give the key to the son. Okay, you take it. And then you can use. Because she is confident that he will not misuse the money, misuse the property. Similarly, Mother Earth withdraws all the facilities in her. She will not give grains, there won't be rains, the demigods will not give anything if the leader is corrupt. Because they know, these are sinful people. They are not fulfilling the objective of human society to worship Krishna. And the society has become a society for sense gratification. The goal of society is sense gratification. So why should the demigods oblige? So then they take back all the facilities, all the amenities. We see, even recent history, one may say, okay, Veena and all these things may be too much in the past. But even recent history, when Chandragupta Maurya was the king, he had a very good advisor called as Chanakya Pandit. And a Chinese traveler, Yun Sang, he was so much inspired by the administration of Bharat Varsha. He was so amazed to see that how everything was going on so smoothly, people were so happy, that he wanted to come and visit and actually see what was going on. How are they doing such wonderful administration? So when he comes, he sees Chanakya Pandit sitting in his room. It was night. So Yun Sang enters. And Chanakya Pandit welcomes him, gives him a seat. And he was working under one candlelight. And he was writing some document, government document. After he finishes, he puts off one candle. He lights another candle, another lamp. And then he sits leisurely to speak to Yun Sang. And Yun Sang, having observed this, he was asking a question. Previously, you were writing a particular document and used that particular lamp. And I saw that you put off that lamp to write another lamp. Now, lamps are just the same. Why do you want to write another lamp? So then he made a statement. He said, this lamp is a property of the government given to me for the work of the government. I finished that work. Now I'm speaking to you. It's my personal work. So now I have lit this lamp because this I have purchased from my own hard labor. So Yun Sang immediately got the reply for why Bharat Varsha is having such good administration. Why are people of India so happy? In fact, recently I read one billboard by some mobile company saying that Bharatvasis most khush. Bharatvasis are most khush. Kush people. Why? Because they it was a Radio Mirchi advertisement. Why? Because they listen to Radio Mirchi. So that is their interpretation of why people of India are so happy. But actually that is not the case. The reason why people of India are still peaceful and happy is that there is still remnants of Vedic culture in India. Not because they listen to, you know, Radio Mirchi or whatever. So the idea is that good leadership brings about all good facilities. And we see even in our Krishna consciousness movement, which is actually led by one of the greatest leaders of modern time that we have seen, is actually Srila Prabhupada, who was such a great leader. And in his administration, how Srila Prabhupada's disciples were also highly empowered. Like one devotee was saying that there was recently a plane crash in Honolulu. Not recently, I mean during the time of Srila Prabhupada. And there were three pujaris with a Lord Vishnu deity inside to install in one of the temples. And the plane crashed. All of them died except these three pujaris, and the deity was unscratched. We see miracles taking place when we start acting like instruments in the hands of devotees. In the hands of the... One devotee was saying how Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, he was wanting to preach. He was such a selfless instrument in the hands of his spiritual master. He wanted to go preach in the communist countries, and he was with a big truckload of Bhagavad Gitas, with 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas, wanting to go into a communist country. So he wanted to strike a plan how to get inside. So when he reached the gates, the guard stopped him and said, "Who are you? And what do you want to enter for?" So he took a dog with him. And the guard immediately saw a dog. Dogs are not allowed in a country. And he was saying, "How? This is my pet. I have to take him. How can I just leave the dog?" And he had a big debate for a long time with that guard. Ultimately, he was convinced. He said, "Okay, I accept. After you, because you're saying so many things, all right, I let the dog go." And he leaves the dog, and the dog runs into the forest. And then the guard also forgets that to check the truck. And he takes the truck inside with 10,000 Bhagavad Gita into the communist country. And he does big book distribution. So one devotee said this pastime. So we see how when devotees act like instruments, miraculous things take place even in their lives. And they can guide so many people and do good preaching. So if we are good instruments, we can be successful. If we are bad instruments, even though we are apparently successful, it is of no good. Like Jatayu. Jatayu saw Ravan taking Sita in the airplane. So he thought, okay, I will try to protect her. Even though I know, he knew that he was going to die. There's no hope he can fight Ravan, who was so powerful. So he went, he attacked Ravan. And Ravan mercilessly chopped off his wings. He fell to the ground, helpless. Apparently, he was a big failure. He was not successful. But Lord Ram personally came and did his antim samskar when he died. The treatment which a father gives to the son, or son gives to the father, that treatment he gave to Jatayu. So we see that when a person is actually in a mood of servitorship, a good leader, then the society can actually be benefited. And apparently, even though a society may not appear so advanced, like apparently India was not appearing so much opulent, but still it is a success. Because the people of that land are achieving success, because what is the ultimate success is defined as achieving Vishnu, progress towards Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada's disciples told Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, the Western world and people, scientists are making so much advancement, so much research and development going on." Prabhupada said, "You call the jumping of dogs advancement? If a dog jumps higher, I mean, is that advancement? It's basically just jumping. So all scientific advancement and research is all just towards sense gratification, making better and better facilities for sense gratification, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So apparently, through so-called good administration, you may have good facilities where people are very comfortable and there's no harm and no troubles for their body, everything available in the press of a button. All these things are there and people are so-called happy, but that's really not good administration. That's really not good leadership. Good leadership is where people are achieving the real goal of life, that is not to live peacefully in this world and die a miserable death, but actually to live in Krishna consciousness. That is good leadership. That is the goal of human society. But when the goal is misplaced, then everything becomes faulty. So apparently, even though places like spiritual places, when you go to like Vrindavan or Mayapur, it may not appear so advanced, or you know, it may see dirt and muck and things like that, but actually that place has got real substance. The consciousness, God consciousness. So, therefore, we have to be guided rightly. Therefore, the ancient times, kings would be guided by brahmanas. There would be a board of brahmanas, who are the intelligent class of people who would guide the people, who would guide the kings. And that was very important. Because today, there are no brahmanas. And Prabhupada said, brahmanas are the heads of the society. Kshatriyas, hands. Vaishyas, the stomach. Shudras, the legs. But today, we don't have brahmanas. It's like a headless society. Imagine, amongst us, there's a man sitting. He has no head. You look on your left and you see a man with no head. How do you think, what would be our reaction? Many of us will fall unconscious seeing such a gory sight, right? A man without a head. But actually, this is the situation of the society. The society has no head. It's a very pitiable situation. So the politicians are actually doing their job without getting any guidance from brahmanas. So therefore, it is very essential that the administration get good advice from brahmanas who are leading detached lives. Very important. Just intelligence. Scientists cannot really guide the human society. Real intelligence means to know the purpose of society. Purpose of society is to achieve Krishna consciousness. Not to make some so-called, inventions, which is actually nothing but copy from nature. So therefore, a leader should have two things, character and competence. He should be capable, he should be competent to administer, to rule. At the same time, he should have good character. Just like a doctor. If a doctor is there, and he's not a devotee, and he's come to hear a class. And there's another person, he's also a doctor, he's a devotee, but he's not having so much hands-on experience on, doing operations. Now, all of a sudden, one devotee really gets sick and he needs to be treated. Now, the person who's a doctor, who's not a devotee, he has got a reputation for stealing organs from the body. And this devotee, he's got a reputation, he's a good devotee, but he does not really have that skill. He's not such a good doctor. Now, if we want to get a person treated, whom do you think we'll have to take him to? The person who's an expert doctor, but no character, or the person who's a very good devotee, has got character but no competence. Certainly, we will hesitate to take him to any of these two. Because if a devotee treats him, and then he will do a mistake or something, he may die. And if a person who is a non-devotee, he's an expert doctor, but he may just conduct an operation and he may steal some of the organs to know that he has missed one kidney missing after some time. It may happen. So both are essential, character and competence. That is very important. But mostly, character is the most important thing. If there is character, everything else follows. And moreover, compassion is a very essential quality of a leader. Compassion. Like, for example, I saw this quality in a doctor who was my family doctor. And this was a practical thing which happened to me in my neighbor who tried to commit suicide. He was very frustrated, so he drank a bottle of Tic-20. The drug which used to kill cockroaches. So he drank and he was very miserable. He was going to die. And the doctor was called and the doctor came and I could actually see that person turning black and blue. And the doctor came to treat him, that person was still in his consciousness. And he started abusing the doctor. He said, "Doctor, if you touch me, if you give me any medicines, And he started abusing very heavily. And I was looking at the doctor's reaction. I was pretty young that time. And the doctor, he was so compassionate. He didn't say, "You are insulting me. You are insulting me. I've come to help you out. And you are insulting me. Okay, get lost. Why should I treat you?" And he just takes his baggage and he goes out of it. No. He was telling that patient, "Whatever bad words you give me, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to cure you. I've come here to do my duty and I will do it." And when he heard such a forceful statement, such determination, such compassion, that person was moved. He just silently slept and let the doctor do his duty. And he was cured. So similarly, as leaders, all of us being leaders must have tremendous compassion. Because while preaching in the Krishna conscious movement, we may encounter people who are maybe to different degrees ungrateful. Or to different degrees attached to the sense gratification. Going back to Maya or so many other things. But still, when a devotee is persistent and very, very compassionate, then he can do maximum benefit for the people. Similarly, it is said that a leader must actually conduct his society just like a father conducts his family. He is not too strict. A father is not too strict, because if he's too strict, then all the children will be too much afraid and they will not be able to reveal their heart, they will not be able to blossom, and they will keep their anarthas or their bad habits a secret. And secretly, when the father is not watching, they will do all the nonsense. But if he's a little open, then the children will come and will reveal their hearts, saying that, you know, a little friendly environment, then he will reveal their heart, saying that I've got these problems. And in a very friendly way, the things can be sorted out. But at the same time, if the father in the house is too relaxed, then all the children will get spoiled. So therefore, a good balance of leniency, at the same time love and compassion and strictness, is a good combination for a leader. So Krishna, therefore, he's emphasizing Arjuna to be an instrument, act like an instrument. That is very important. Very important to act like an instrument. And we see that how Srila Prabhupada, being a very wonderful leader of ISKCON, he was in that spirit of a instrument. He writes in his poem when he was going to America, he composed a poem, "Oh Lord, you have brought me here, I'm just an instrument. I'm just like a puppet. So since you brought me here, you make me dance in the way you feel right." So that was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He wrote his books, Srimad Bhagavatam, and he considered them as non-different from the Supreme Lord. And he considered himself as a servant of the Bhagavatam. So, being in that mood, Srila Prabhupada went to the West, and that's why so many people were attracted to him. They were attracted to him. So, when a person is in the mood of an instrument, then that really is actually beneficial for the society, and he can actually deliver himself. Otherwise, the person who has not missed the point, then he cannot even deliver himself. What to speak of the world? So, one devotee had come here from Mayapur. He was telling a wonderful statement that in the material world, 5 minus 1 is 4. In the spiritual world, 5 minus 1 is 5. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, 5 minus 1 is 6. So, Adhayada. If you give, you get. So the mood of a leader is actually to help others, to be in the service attitude, to actually help and elevate others. And when he does that, what he has, the Krishna consciousness, will actually increase. So that is the mood of a leader. So therefore, Maharaj Gaya is actually setting a very wonderful example here of how a good administrator behaves, what is his duties, and how the ultimate goal of life is actually to please Lord Vishnu, that is Sri Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, are there any comments or some questions? So, I'd like to end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande.